It's time for Roadworthy Drive, America's premier mobility news and technology talk show. Ken Chester loves talking about breaking mobility news and the latest technology, although he doesn't always tell it between the lines. Ready or not, here's the opinionated industry veteran with that futuristic twist, Ken Chester.
Real facts, real opinions, real talk. This is the one and only Roadworthy Drive, home to mobility and technology news, information, and perspective. Ken Chester here in studio with the even-handed Chase Seibert at the controls. Glad you could join us.
On the agenda, the bottleneck fueling high gasoline prices, ATVs, misconceptions, and insurance, and racing drones for fun and profit.
To add your voice to the din of the crowd, call or text the Roadworthy Drive line. That number, as always, 872-222-9793. Or you can email the show, talk@roadworthydrive.net. From the parts bin, we want to talk about Volkswagen's rumors of reviving the Scout name for an upcoming SUV. A lot of speculation here. We need to go back a little bit, first of all, and talk about how amazing the Scout was and the fact that the Ford Bronco actually owes its existence in part to the existence of the International Scout. Now, the Scout was owned by International Harvester, which was primarily a farm implement manufacturer who also made medium and heavy duty over the road trucks. They did both. They created not only the Scout, which was a cool little go anywhere, do anything, rugged runabout. They called them wagons back then because the term SUV had not been coined. They also did the Travelall, which was a bigger version. Think more suburban and expedition, only built by International Harvester. And in fact, back then, International Harvester even built a pickup truck. And I remember that because a neighbor up the street who was a building contractor owned one, and I thought it was a cool design. So International kind of had its own little light-duty truck division for a while, the International Scout being the smallest of that group, and if you'll allow me, very Jeep-like. It go anywhere, do anything ability was tied also to its tagline, International Scout. Anything less, it's just a car. And they rode that forever. It's iconic.
And so what's Volkswagen going to do?
That's the big question. What does a German company who's never built a truck for the American market going to do? Now, in fairness, Volkswagen does have a pickup truck they sell in other markets. And the first blush was that they would bring this SUV, this pickup truck, over to the American market, but that's not going to happen. And I can appreciate that for a variety of reasons. Americans expect a lot out of their trucks in terms of comfort, room, performance, towing, payload, and the fact that Volkswagen is looking at maybe making this an electric, a pure electric, not a hybrid, puts a lot of pressure on it. The original Ford Bronco, when it was created, Ford Motor Company spent a lot of time talking to people who owned the Jeep CJ5 and International Scout to find out what they liked, what they didn't like about those vehicles. And then from that blueprint created the Ford Bronco, which was wildly successful for like 30 years. They built that thing for 30 years, 30, before they discontinued it in 1996. There's a lot riding on this. One, they're obviously going to have to build it in the United States, which means Chattanooga, unless they choose a new greenfield plant, which is a lot of money. It's cheaper to build either near or as part of an existing campus, if you will, because of the co-location of suppliers, rail service, logistics, the whole bit. Talented workforce, ability to utilize management to its fullest extent without them having to shuttle between a number of plants. The question is, what platform, if any, can they use to build a competitive, comprehensive vehicle? Because honestly, you know, in our next program, I'm going to be reviewing the Ford Bronco, and I got to tell you, that thing's pretty amazing. And if the Bronco was created originally...
The Ford Bronco?
The Ford Bronco. If...
Yeah, that was last week's episode.
Oh, I'm sorry. Last it sure week. Was. Yeah, I get confused.
That's okay. Jeep.
Yes. But again, all of these come together, which is why I'm a little confused. But when I reviewed the Bronco and I did the history, the Scout was all over it. They used that as the starting point for what they built. For Volkswagen now, turnabout's fair play. The new Bronco's amazing. And for it to come anything less than what it was and what it could be, nah, they won't sell. And the other challenge they've got is how do you bring it in at a price point that would be compelling? And if you're going to go electric, what can you do to make this vehicle suitable off-road? Because you know my past experience with a Jeep Wrangler hybrid didn't end so well. And I was not a happy person. So I don't know. We don't have any timetable for when it's supposed to get built, what it's going to look like, what its attributes are going to be, anything. All we know is that they're going to build it. And interesting aside that you may not realize, you're saying, well, why is Volkswagen using an international name? Well, because Volkswagen, through its Triton truck subsidiary, bought the truck part of what was left of International, which was renamed Navistar. They own the rights to that name. You might not have known that. It's a little something that gets lost in all the news. But yeah, that's why they have the right to do it. Because they bought Navistar and folded into their truck division. So I'm not sure in this truck crazy world if we have room for another one. I mean, Jeep is still pretty popular. You got the Bronco that's setting sales records. You can't get one. And Ford went to great lengths to make that thing go anywhere, do anything.
Maybe it shows that people want so many, and these are selling out like crazy, that you put a new one in front of them that does well, that seems nice, it'll sell.
The challenge you have is how do you respect the history? Because this vehicle's got history. There are diehard folk that still have in it, Scouts, and the Scout has been out of production for 40 years plus. You have folks that are very, very dedicated to the brand still. So you don't want to alienate the faithful. By the same token, you want to draw new people to the brand. And then that's the other thing. Volkswagen is talking about making this a separate standalone brand. What does that mean in terms of dealer network, in terms of parts, service, support, advertising, availability of product, allocation of resources, management, marketing? That's a big question. And it's a big leap of faith because you don't start a brand cheaply. You end up spending billions of dollars over a long period of time. And in today's world, you cannot launch a new brand unless you're committed to two things, pure electric and autonomous. You literally have to go in with that. If your brand starting from scratch today doesn't have that as an evolution of your product, then you are dead in the water before you start. Particularly since many states and a lot of countries are already in the process, if they haven't already declared, banning any new vehicles that burn gasoline or diesel fuel. And we reported on California being one of the first to start. And in the next 10 years, a bunch of countries and a lot of states are going to be on the bandwagon saying, if it burns gasoline, you can't sell it new here. And I wonder aloud, how long after that will they ban used vehicles that do it? And what would that look like? And how would you accommodate those people who can't afford anything else?
Yeah, that's the question.
But that's coming. No doubt, that's coming. Particularly as the glut of what will be internal combustion engine vehicles hits the market and everybody wants the electrics.
I thought it was an interesting bit, you know, in California we were talking about you know, banning the new ones by as soon as 4 years.
Mm-hmm.
There was that section when I went back and listened where you talked about how they are working to help with the maintenance and help with potential battery swap, you know, getting new batteries. They weren't just leaving, at least the idea, this proposal hasn't passed, but they were making sure they weren't leaving people out to dry.
In any new technology, usually people who don't have the economic means are the ones that need it the worst and have the least access. In order for this to work, they're going to have to figure out something. Otherwise, poor folks are going to be driving gasoline-powered vehicles. And as the economy tips that way and refiners continue to pull back in the production of gasoline, it goes through the roof because demand falls off.
While gasoline demand has returned to pre-pandemic levels, production has not. How relevant. You are listening to Robert the Drive.
Welcome to AONMeetings.com, your next video conferencing and webinar platform. Host your next virtual meeting or your paid webinar with registration and secure file sharing, break rooms, classrooms, and much more. With over 5 levels of security to know that your data is safe and secure and 100% browser-based, keep in touch with family and friends using the newest meeting platform. Go to AONMeetings.com to start your free 7-day trial. That's AONMeetings.com to start your 7-day free trial.
I bet you didn't know that Roadworthy Drive also has a YouTube channel. That's right. Each week, we create videos of our more popular segments and turn them into videos. Be sure to check out and follow the Roadworthy Drive channel on YouTube. We even have short videos on TikTok and Instagram Reels, too. We have you covered like that. That's Roadworthy Drive, your spot for mobility and technology news, information, and perspective. Have you ever listened to an episode of Roadworthy Drive and wanted to listen to just one of the topics we covered again without having to listen to the whole program? I'm Ken Chester, and I'm here to tell you that you can now listen to our Roadworthy Drive Moments podcast and do just that. We've taken our regular program and divided it up into each topic as a separate episode. Imagine that. So, be sure to check out Roadworthy Drive Moments wherever you get your podcasts. Social media. Seems everybody's looking at it, posting to it, or creating content for it. Add our name to the list. Roadworthy Drive, your weekly spot for mobility and technology news, information, and perspective, is no exception. You can follow us on Facebook as Roadworthy Drive, Twitter as RWD On Demand, and Instagram as Roadworthy Drives with an S. Keep up with your favorite hosts as we hustle to keep up on social media. And yes, we do respond there too. Be sure to follow us.
I'm celebrating local heroes. Tune in the second Thursday each month at 6.05 p.m. right after the news for Heroes of the North State on North State Now. I'm Michelle Slade. During North State Now, we will speak with your neighbors, friends, family, and community members who give back, not to be recognized, but because it's the right thing to do. During these conversations, we will learn what truly makes our community and the people in it. Join me the second Thursday of each month at 6.05 p.m., right after the news, for Heroes of the North State on North State Now.
Hi, this is Elle. Join me and my good friend and co-host Ron Lim for our new show, Ask Elle, right here on KCNR 96.5 FM and 1460 AM every Tuesday night at 6 p.m. starting in September. We'll be exploring powerful topics on how to have a successful and satisfying relationship. See you here Tuesday nights at 6 p.m.
Brought to you by Carlene's and Deja Vu Restaurants.
The tradition continues at the Dry Creek Station at 22025 Highway 299 East in Bella Vista, featuring delicious steaks and seafood, chicken soup, salads, and much more. The Dry Creek Station, family-owned and operated, open since 1992, serving dinner Tuesday through Sunday from 5 to 9 p.m. with happy hour from 3 to 5. The Dry Creek Station is famous for their steamer clams. Friday through Sunday, don't miss their fabulous weekend specials. The Dry Creek Station at 22025 Highway 299 East in Bella Vista. So come on down to the Dry Creek Station, where quality and value meet.
Hi, this is Judy Maxwell. Life can happen in an instant. Sometimes you plan for it, like retirement or taking care of your family. Sometimes it's a surprise, like a winter storm with home or property damage. Sometimes it may be an unexpected accident or illness or even a premature death. Whatever life throws at you, You'll wish you had gotten the right insurance when you had the chance. That's where Maxwell Insurance can help. For more than a quarter century, we've been serving the North State because it's our home, too. Give us a call at 221-0441 to let us help you review your policies and prepare you for whatever your future holds. Maxwell Insurance, 1378 Hilltop Drive, 221-0441.
It's the Ramsey Show, talk radio where debt is dumb and cash is king. Listen weekdays at noon on KCNR 96.5 FM and 1460 AM, your talk radio station.
KCNR 96.5 FM, AM 1460, and heard online at KCNR1460.com. Tune in to Mark Levin, Dave Ramsey, and Ben Shapiro. Plus, don't miss our local shows, including Free Fire Radio on KCNR.
America's asking you to call. Drive your Chevrolet through the USA. America's the greatest land of all. On a highway or a road along a levee, performance is sweeter, nothing can beat her. Life is completer in a Chevy. So make a date today to see the USA. See it in your Chevrolet.
Traveling east, traveling west, wherever you go, Chevy service is best. Southward or north, near place or far, there's a Chevrolet dealer for your Chevrolet car.
See the USA in your Chevrolet. The Rockies way out west are calling you. Drive your Chevrolet through the USA, where fields of golden wheat pass in review. Whether traveling lighter with a load that's heavy, performance is sweeter, nothing can beat her. Life is completer in a Chevy. So make a date today to see the USA and see it in your Chevrolet.
I bet you thought that was just an advertisement for a car brand, didn't you?
Yeah, sure.
No.
No, it was the roads, because we've done this ad before.
We have done this ad before.
Traveling cross country for the first time, right?
There were no interstates.
Yeah.
There were no interstates. For them to advocate seeing the USA, first of all, this campaign by Chevrolet would last 20 to 30 years in some kind of form, number one. Number two, they just advertised a whole bunch of different businesses as a result, subconsciously. If you got in your vehicle, it was a major event to travel the country in 1953 when this first came out. And this is still 2 years before the legendary Chevrolet short block V8, before the Tri-5 Chevys, the shoebox Chevys, the Chevys that people are still going crazy over. This is still a few years before all that. So it was major. It was major. All the patriotism, everything rolled into that. Be proud of your country. Travel it. See it. Check it out. Drive out west. That's a 2 or 3 day trip back then, because you'd be going through every small town between here and there, regardless of where you were in the country. It was not something you could get done. Today, from where we sit, you could probably get there, and it's a hard drive still, but it's probably 10 hours to Denver from here.
Yeah.
And that's a hard drive. That's not playing. That's interstate driving. Could you imagine how many days it would take now or back then?
Back then, yeah.
Several days to get there. And you wouldn't be driving at that speed. One, the car couldn't handle it. Two, the roads weren't designed for it. So it was a big deal. And I just like it for everything that commercial represents. Now, there's been plenty of speculation and conspiracy theories regarding the current state of fuel prices. Like most things in our over-technified modern society, it's complicated. So let me start. We've reported here before, we talked about in the early days of the recovery, how rising prices should have pulled more supply into the system.
And in the early days, it wasn't, because it's at the feet of the publicly held companies that drill for and get oil out of the ground. The investors were saying, wait a minute, not this time. We want our money. Do not spend it to enlarge capacity. So capacity at that time was constrained. With the conversion to what we call summer fuel, which, by the way, most people don't realize, there are two different types. You've got winter gasoline and summer gasoline. Summer gasoline costs more to make, first of all. Second of all, now that supplies have largely recovered, at least in the United States, we have a brand new problem. And it's a problem that's existed now in this country for over 30 years. A lack of refining capacity. We have not built any new oil refineries in years. I've got from the Wall Street Journal a chart of U.S. operating refineries. Now, this goes from 1982 to 2020. In 1982, there was over 250 oil refineries operating in the United States of America. Now, there's barely 140. All that capacity has gone. It's gone. And not just in the United States, but around the world. The bottleneck is refining, people. The world hasn't invested enough in maintaining or adding refineries. And COVID-19, another symptom and another result. Guess what? If you were an oil refining company in the early days of COVID, first of all, your demand in the early days dropped through the floor. So you may have taken it offline to do maintenance. Now, doing maintenance in an oil refinery is not as easy as shutting the plant off and turning the plant back on. It takes weeks, maybe months. And by the way, the most dangerous times for an oil refinery is either shutting it down or starting it up. Most accidents, fires, and mishaps happen most of the time in either case. So you've got that problem. Here's another thing. Like the auto industry, the oil refining business, in fact, the whole supply chain for the oil industry is capital intensive. That means not hundreds of thousands of dollars. It means millions and billions of dollars. Consider this. As fuel demand crashed during the pandemic, refiners around the world permanently closed older and less profitable plants. About 3 million barrels a day of global refining capacity closed during the pandemic, and at least a million barrels a day of that was in the United States of America. Now, add to that, these closures were made worse by a punishing hurricane season in the Gulf of Mexico, which, of course, in the Texas coast, they call it the Chemical Coast, and it houses the world's largest petrochemical complex that damaged some refineries there. Let me add this. We reported here about a year ago that Texas freeze, that affected refineries too, as they struggled to get started. Some of the companies right now are performing maintenance on the refineries, keeping more capacity offline. As a result, the capacities that are, the refineries that are running now are right around 90%. They're almost at full capacity right now. Why? Because demand, people, has returned to near pre-pandemic numbers. Refinery capacity has not. Let me give you an example. They talked about when Hurricane Ida damaged the Phillips 66 Alliance Refinery in Louisiana, it permanently shut the plant instead of investing more than $1 billion in repairs. And by the end of 2023, as much as almost 1.7 million barrels of U.S. refining capacity is expected to close. That's the problem, pure and simple. We can't refine it. We've got it. We're exporting it still from the East Coast. We're exporting oil. We just can't refine it to get it to the gas pump.
What if they say there's not lack of incentivization from this administration?
It takes years to build an oil refinery, and nobody wants one in their backyard.
I agree.
And it's been that way.
While most states do not require specific insurance for ATVs, there are plenty of misconceptions about it. This is Roadworthy Drive.
Welcome to AONmeetings.com, your next video conferencing and webinar platform. Host your next virtual meeting or your paid webinar with registration and secure file sharing, break rooms, classrooms, and much more. With over 5 levels of security to know that your data is safe and secure and 100% browser-based, keep in touch with family and friends using the newest meeting platform. Go to AONmeetings.com to start your free 7-day trial. That's AONmeetings.com to start your 7-day free trial.
Have you ever listened to an episode of Roadworthy Drive and wanted to listen to just one of the topics we covered again without having to listen to the whole program? I'm Ken Chester, and I'm here to tell you that you can now listen to our Roadworthy Drive Moments podcast and do just that. We've taken our regular program and divided it up into each topic as a separate episode. Imagine that. So, be sure to check out Roadworthy Drive Moments wherever you get your podcasts. Welcome back. Every year, there are over 100,000 emergency room visits by people involved in an ATV accident. In 2019, there were approximately 295 deaths due to ATV-related accidents, according to the Consumer Product Safety Commission. Yet, when it comes to insurance and off-road vehicles like ATVs, what most people think they know can hurt them. Number one, here's a question for you, Chase. Do you think that your car policy, your insurance policy for your car, would cover if you, and I know you don't, but if you owned an ATV, would it cover it?
Is it the insurance we talked about, the umbrella?
Whatever you currently have for insurance for your car right now.
I would assume probably not.
Exactly. It doesn't. That's misconception number one. Number two, second misconception. A lot of people think that ATVs are covered under their homeowner's policy. Again, not true, but with one important caveat. Most homeowners' policies cover accidents on the insured's property, which is not particularly ATV-specific. And in fact, a lot of policies, car policies, will exclude ATVs by name. And here's a fun fact, and I didn't realize this, but in studying for this particular piece, I learned it. I used to remember the three-wheeled ATVs. I've seen them.
I see those everywhere still, on the street.
Guess what?
Three-wheelers.
They haven't been made since the late 1980s.
No, there's new. The motorcycles are basically like brand new looking.
Well, those are called trikes.
Sorry.
But they're not really off-road.
I see a lot of those.
Yeah, well, a trike is kind of different from the off-road ATVs. As far as the off-road ATVs, they're not made that way anymore. Now, on-road, yeah. And in fact, there's an outfit in the one of the communities in our metro area that will turn your motorcycle into a trike. But that's a whole different thing because that's still on road. And yeah, there's a lot of those out. But as far as the older off-road ATVs, yeah, I learned that the insurance companies kind of frowned on it and kind of nudged the industry out of them so that in terms by the mid to late 1990s, they were four-wheeled ATVs. Now, the Consumer Product Safety Commission issued this voluminous report of statistics and facts and figures about ATV deaths from about 1980 through about 2020. I didn't get into it. I tried to find an executive summary. Ironically, this report didn't have one because I wanted to get some specific takeaways. It's very detailed. It goes into all kinds of detail. One of the striking things it talked about at length was children riding or driving ATVs who were injured or killed. Children under the age of 16, children under the age of 12, and the numbers were in the thousands. That I do remember. And that's not okay. The problem that we have when it comes to insurance, ATVs, and how they function is state laws are not consistent or clear always regarding most of the time. You're not even required to license an ATV. Some states require licensing. Some states require titling, but it's not consistent. Also, There's no minimum age that I could see in most states, not all states, but in most states, for someone to actually ride or drive an ATV. And there's nothing currently that I am aware of on the books that outlaw the old three-wheelers, which were particularly dangerous. Because, I guess, because of weight distribution, they could pop a wheelie and land on you, which is why they largely got away from them. So the big thing is people that need to understand, and there's a lot of things, but let me get into this. Auto policy insureds need to know that their personal auto policy will only provide coverage for personal vehicles that are insured under the auto insurance contract. They also need to understand that without liability coverage, they could be putting their assets at risk in the event of a serious accident. This is why you go to your insurance agent. If you have ATVs and you have some property, or you're going to a friend's house to ride their ATVs, it's good to know if they've got insurance in case you get hurt. Here in our rural state, every now and then, a few times a year, we usually hear about kids out riding in the timber or across a field who have a mishap and an ATV or an injured or killed. It's been a few years, but it happens. It happens, and it's unfortunate. But unlike a vehicle, I mean, if you drive a car in this state, you're required for a minimum age, you're required to have a certain amount of training or instruction. No such thing for an ATV, which is unfortunate, because if it moves, you should be instructed on how the safe operation to use it, particularly because terrain is uneven, terrain is different, and vehicles perform differently in less than 100% traction situations, mud, water, inclines. There's a right way and a wrong way to do it. And a lot of people make the assumption that because it's not a four-wheeler, because it's not on road, because it's on my personal property, it's okay. Well, if your children, if your friends even, are not instructed or have an idea of the safe way to operate this thing safely off-road, which includes not speeding, it's not the same on gravel. It's not the same on mud. It's not the same going through a stream. It operates differently, particularly if you own an older one. They're not safe generally. And the numbers back it up. The bottom line here is to realize that to be aware, to be safe, you should check with your insurance agent to see if you have an ATV, if your children are going to be using it, are you insured? Are you protected? What if they've got one of their friends get hurt? Your homeowner's policy may not necessarily cover injuries if your child is driving that ATV and their friend gets hurt on your property. Or worse yet, maybe not even on your property, maybe on the friend's property. It pays to find out, folks, because you may be exposing yourself to risks you had no knowledge of, making an assumption that your existing insurance was enough or sufficient to cover you. It isn't. Liability insurance is important. And again, every state is different, so you need to be aware. Now, I will say this. In many states, ATV insurance is required by law. However, even if there's no insurance requirement in your state, you should consider getting some sort of ATV coverage for your family. Because there's a higher risk of injuries with these vehicles because they're ridden on rough terrain, and that's according to Progressive Insurance. There's statistics for this. And we're all about safe mobility each and every time, because even one injury or death is one too many, and we want you to be safe no matter how you're getting around or where you're getting around.
The Drone Racing League sponsors races which are broadcast to millions of fans around the world. Who knew? We are Roadworthy Drive.
This is Roadworthy Drive.
mobility and technology news and perspective. That's what you can expect each week on Roadworthy Drive. Ken Chester here, and if you ever wondered about the world around you, particularly when it comes to things like electric vehicles, robot cars, and even the advanced driver assistance systems in your car or truck, then Roadworthy Drive is the place. Each week, we report, discuss, and often debate the latest topics that impact you, our listener, in language that you can understand. That's Roadworthy Drive, each week, right here. You can also find us wherever you get your podcasts. Have you ever listened to an episode of Roadworthy Drive and wanted to listen to just one of the topics we covered again without having to listen to the whole program? I'm Ken Chester, and I'm here to tell you that you can now listen to our Roadworthy Drive Moments podcast and do just that. We've taken our regular program and divided it up into each topic as a separate episode. Imagine that. So, be sure to check out Roadworthy Drive Moments wherever you get your podcasts. I bet you didn't know that Roadworthy Drive also has a YouTube channel. That's right. Each week, we create videos of our more popular segments and turn them into videos. Be sure to check out and follow the Roadworthy Drive channel on YouTube. We even have short videos on TikTok and Instagram Reels, too. We have you covered like that. That's Roadworthy Drive, your spot for mobility and technology news, information, and perspective. Social media. Seems everybody's looking at it, posting to it, or creating content for it. Add our name to the list. Roadworthy Drive, your weekly spot for mobility and technology news, information, and perspective, is no exception. You can follow us on Facebook as Roadworthy Drive, Twitter as RWD On Demand, and Instagram as Roadworthy Drives with an S. Keep up with your favorite hosts as we hustle to keep up on social media. And yes, we do respond there too. Be sure to follow us.
If you trust the government, if you believe the misinformation they're telling you is fact, you won't like our show, Poke the Hornet's Nest.
Hi, I'm your host, Doug Janke, and along with co-host Nick Gardner, we'll expose the dark side of governmental deception and misinformation from our local level, statewide, and to the national and world views.
On second thought, maybe the government believers should listen to the view of two middle-class, well-informed, working Americans.
Be sure to tune in to Poke the Hornet's Nest every other Sunday right here on KCNR1460.com, 96.5 FM, and 1460 AM, 8 to 9 every other Sunday morning.
And remember, you don't have to believe the artificial intelligence these people with college degrees are telling you, because sometimes they're misleading you. Listen to the other side of the news.
I'm celebrating local heroes. Tune in the second Thursday each month at 6.05 p.m. right after the news for Heroes of the North State on North State Now. I'm Michelle Slade. During North State Now, we will speak with your neighbors, friends, family, and community members who give back, not to be recognized, but because it's the right thing to do. During these conversations, we will learn what truly makes our community and the people in it. Join me the second Thursday of each month at 6.05 p.m. right after the news for Heroes of the North State on North State Now.
Convert your calling into a career at Shasta College this fall. Get a jump start on being transfer ready, or boost your current career skills quickly and affordably with a certificate or degree. Our fall semester offers flexible class times and formats with online and more in-person offerings. Plan your tomorrow today by enrolling at Shasta College. Fall semester classes begin August 15th. Achieve more. Earn more. Shasta College. www.shastacollege.edu. Enroll online today.
100 years ago, Simpson University began with a promise to be the gateway to world service. 30 years ago, we moved to Reading with a promise to serve the North State, graduating professionals who live and serve our growing community. Today, Simpson University continues to provide a Christ-centered education, graduating students with mature and infectious faith, critical competence, and a ready spirit to thrive as servant leaders around the world and at our backyard. Learn more about Reading's hometown university at simpsonu.edu.
Hey y'all, are you a chicken fried steak fan? You're going to want to stop over at Black Bear Diner, where they've just introduced four new ways to love your favorite. Try the kitchen sink omelet, three eggs loaded with veggies, chicken fried steak, cheese, and country gravy. Or a new take on a crispy sandwich, crispy or spicy, piled high with goodies, and crispy chicken fried steak. If pasta's your game, they've got you covered with smooth fettuccine alfredo topped with chicken fried steak. Now serving for a limited time, Black Bear Diner.
Did you know that drone racing was a thing? I didn't. The Drone Racing League is a professional drone racing league that operates internationally. Founded in 2015 and launched publicly in January 2016, the league is currently in its fourth season, the 2019 DRL Alliance World Championship season, which features seven races in locations including Alliance Riviera in Nice, France, BMW Welt in Munich, Germany, and the Adventure Dome in Las Vegas, Nevada. Now, the DRL's expert engineers hand-built a fleet of identical racing drones and developed a proprietary radio system that will enable DRL drones to race through large-scale courses through 8 feet of concrete and created a realistic drone racing sim, the DRL Simulator. DRL develops all of their drones in-house in order to, quote, create a level playing field, unquote, for races. It was important to make sure that when you saw a pilot win a race, that you knew that it was the best pilot, not necessarily the person flying the faster drone. And that's according to the founder of DRL. All DRL drones are identical in spec, but are covered in hundreds of ultra-bright LEDs to help viewers easily follow the action. As described by Wired, the LED rigs also lend a Tron-like aesthetic to races. Built for speed rather than stability, DRL drones differ from commercial drones. Since its launch, DRL pilots have flown three types of drones, the Racer 2 in 2016, the Racer 3 in 2017 to 2018, and the Racer 4, which began in 2019. Now, as we look at different types of mobility, and we start to see different types of vehicles coming on the scene. We've talked about Formula E, which was basically the equivalent of Formula One but electric. We talked about autonomous racing, which I'm still trying to figure out how that's going to work. Now we're talking about racing drones. Racing drones.
This isn't a thing. Yeah.
It's been a thing for a while.
Yeah.
And I don't know. Unmanned aerial vehicles used for sport. Interesting. Now, Dragonfly is one of the longest running drone companies, and they've got a multi-year partnership with the Drone Racing League. And it's pretty cool because it looks like they're going to, I hate to use the word use DRL as a testbed, but in a sense, that's what they're doing with some things that I don't know. I want to get your feedback about this, Chase. I'm going to skip to the thing where I'm going, I don't know. One of the things that they want to do in getting information is they want to, well, they're creating with DRL something called DRL Labs. And they're incorporating Dragonfly's AI Vital Intelligence platform into this year's World Championship season. Consider this. Using existing camera systems, the platform is able to screen, this is key, with voluntary consent, temperature, blood pressure, heart rate, respiratory rate, and oxygen saturation in seconds. And this is of the pilots participating. Our smart vital system doesn't register any personal data of the individual being screened, they said. Before and after the DRL Vegas Championship race, the league's pilots had their core vitals measured using Dragonfly's smart vital kiosk. Dragonfly is currently working with the DRL to further integrate our vital intelligence technology into their existing infrastructure. Consider this. Phase two will involve measuring the core vitals of DRL pilots during races, which will drive new health insights around flying drones and bring millions of the league's fans closer to the action than ever before. That part I don't understand. Our breakthrough diagnostic system will analyze the psychological reactions of the pilots to competition, fast speeds, crashes, and much more. I want to get your take on that.
The data?
Yeah.
That is interesting.
Should I be creeped out?
Are they doing that for, like, I wonder, for NASCAR racing? I feel like they take some...
You know, I don't know.
They definitely show, like, I feel like they've showed heart rates before.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I mean, I guess these people are in the competition and they're subjecting themselves to these when they go do this, that there's, you know.
Well, it said voluntary, but I don't know how voluntary that could be.
Yeah.
But I'm looking at the broader application. If you're developing this platform tied to drones to learn this stuff about the people operating the drones, what are the commercial applications of this technology? Because you're not just developing it for fun. You're developing it in real time using actual subjects to develop a marketable platform. But for whom?
Yeah.
Is this something that maybe UPS would use? Because they're operating unmanned line-of-sight drones right now near Charlottesville. And some other companies are doing it.
My first thought to Amazon, too.
Would not surprise me. But I just don't get...
A recent thing came out. They were measuring, like... You know, drivers by the minute.
UPS has been doing that for years.
By the minute.
Yeah. UPS has been doing that for years. They actually do time and motion studies. They have been doing that for years. The question is, does this represent a potential workplace challenge to where companies like Amazon, like UPS, which are very time and motion sensitive, to determine if your employee is operating at peak efficiency, yeah, and what does that profile look like?
If you're fit enough, you know, you like, know, oh, what, your, yeah, your heart rate's a little high, we're going to fire you.
Well, or more importantly, it shows, are you working at your potential, yeah, given a given task? We expect your profile to be here. If you're not here, are you working as hard as you should be?
Yeah, that's
or as hard as you can be?
That's dystopian.
It is, but this is where I'm at.
Yeah.
Why are you, why, Dragonfly, are you developing this platform? For what end? At the end of the day, I'm sorry, it gets all down to money.
Mm-hmm.
Drones first, and I'm still a little unclear as to what the takeaway is and how, they said it's, you know, fan interest. Okay, maybe, but that's not it.
For now.
They want to find a way to monetize that. And my question is, where are we going with this? Because as we've reported at length, back in the day, different technological advances were not mutually inclusive. Today, everything is. That you are finding a broad application of what seemingly unconnected technologies coming together in new and different ways. In ways you've never imagined. And I think this is one of them. I really do. I just don't know where they're going with this. You know, I'm like, okay, this sounds cool, but why are you doing it? And it's more than bring millions of the league's fans closer to the action than ever before. Okay, that's nice, but that's not, that's, no. No, where is the money? Show me the money. Where are you going with this?
And that brings us to the end of our program. Be sure to join us again next time. This has been Road Worthy Drive.
Road Worthy Drive is a copyrighted presentation of Road Worthy Drive Production. Any rebroadcast, retransmission, or any other use is prohibited without the written consent of Road Worthy Drive Productions, Incorporated.
Mobility and technology, news and perspective. That's what you can expect each week on Roadworthy Drive. Ken Chester here, and if you ever wondered about the world around you, particularly when it comes to things like electric vehicles, robot cars, and even the advanced driver assistance systems in your car or truck, then Roadworthy Drive is the place. Each week, we report, discuss, and often debate the latest topics that impact you, our listener, in language that you can understand. That's Roadworthy Drive, each week, right here. You can also find us wherever you get your podcasts. Have you ever listened to an episode of Roadworthy Drive and wanted to listen to just one of the topics we covered again without having to listen to the whole program? I'm Ken Chester, and I'm here to tell you that you can now listen to our Roadworthy Drive Moments podcast and do just that. We've taken our regular program and divided it up into each topic as a separate episode. Imagine that. So, be sure to check out Roadworthy Drive Moments wherever you get your podcasts. I bet you didn't know that Roadworthy Drive also has a YouTube channel. That's right. Each week, we create videos of our more popular segments and turn them into videos. Be sure to check out and follow the Roadworthy Drive channel on YouTube. We even have short videos on TikTok and Instagram Reels, too. We have you covered like that. That's Roadworthy Drive, your spot for mobility and technology news, information, and perspective. Social media. Seems everybody's looking at it, posting to it, or creating content for it. Add our name to the list. Roadworthy Drive, your weekly spot for mobility and technology news, information, and perspective, is no exception. You can follow us on Facebook as Roadworthy Drive, Twitter as RWD on Demand, and Instagram as Roadworthy Drives with an S. Keep up with your favorite hosts as we hustle to keep up on social media. And yes, we do respond there too. Be sure to follow us.
I'm celebrating local heroes. Tune in the second Thursday each month at 6.05 p.m. right after the news for Heroes of the North State on North State Now. I'm Michelle Slade. During North State Now, we will speak with your neighbors, friends, family, and community members who give back, not to be recognized, but because it's the right thing to do. During these conversations, we will learn what truly makes our community and the people in it. Join me the second Thursday of each month at 6.05 p.m. right after the news for Heroes of the North State on North State Now.
Hi, this is Elle. Join me and my good friend and co-host Ron Lim for our new show, Ask Elle, right here on KCNR 96.5 FM and 1460 AM every Tuesday night at 6 p.m. starting in September. We'll be exploring powerful topics on how to have a successful and satisfying relationship. See you here Tuesday nights at 6 p.m.
Brought to you by Carlene's and Deja Vu Restaurants.
Founded in 1995, GI Pathology is the only physician-owned laboratory in the United States dedicated solely to the practice of gastrointestinal and liver pathology. The company provides the highest quality GI pathology diagnosis made exclusively by one of our fellowship-trained gastrointestinal and liver pathologists. GI Pathology delivers results to its Northern California client base within an industry-leading 24 hours. Call 888-2-GI-PATH or go to www.gipath.com for more information.
The elders of our community, men and women who've led commendable lives. After working hard, raising families, serving their communities, and some serving our country, many find their safety and well-being is at risk. They risk losing their health, independence, and becoming vulnerable to many forms of abuse. The good news is we can all make a difference. Shining Care invites you to the Healthy Aging Fair. Make plans to attend September 15th from 10 a.m. to 1 p.m. at Orchard Nutrition Center, 221 Locust Street in Reading. Drive through and grab your free goodie bag filled with resourceful information or park and visit all of the resource booths. Age well by visiting the Healthy Aging Fair September 15th, 10 to 1. For more info, go to shiningcare.org and we'll see you at Orchard Nutrition Center for the Healthy Aging Fair September 15th from 10 a.m. to 1 p.m. Special thanks to our community partners, PSA2 Area Agency on Aging, Long-Term Care Ombudsman Program, and Orchard Nutrition Center.
A building that's meant to last is not built overnight. And for centuries, the cornerstone has been crucial to guide each brick and wall that comes after. A strong community relies on many cornerstones. So at Cornerstone Community Bank, we've taken our name to heart. Whether it's your business or your family, we'll provide the financial cornerstone that you need to build on. We're local. We're community. We're your cornerstone. Member FDIC, Equal Housing Lender.
I'm celebrating local heroes. Tune in the second Thursday each month at 6.05 p.m. right after the news for Heroes of the North State on North State Now. I'm Michelle Slade. During North State Now, we will speak with your neighbors, friends, family, and community members who give back, not to be recognized, but because it's the right thing to do. During these conversations, we will learn what truly makes our community and the people in it. Join me the second Thursday of each month at 6.05 p.m., right after the news, for Heroes of the North State on North State Now.
Veterans, did you know that Shasta County Veterans Service Office is open to all veterans who have served our nation? Whether a combat veteran or a member of the reserves with limited active duty time, you have earned benefits. If you have any military benefit or veteran-related questions, call 530-225-5616 or stop by Shasta County Veterans Service Office at 1855 Shasta Street, Redding, California. This message is brought to you by Korean War veteran Senator Maurice Johannesson, former Secretary, California Veterans Affairs.
The news from Town Hall is brought to you on KCNR Shasta Reading by Shasta. The news from Town Hall is brought to you on KCNR Shasta Reading by Shasta Regional Medical Center. Your life, your health, your choice. Shasta Regional Medical Center.